Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right. So we're going to just continue our series on the generous heart. I told you all on Sunday that we're going to pay attention to the concept of the tithe today. There's just a lot we need to cover, but we will do as much as we can in the coming days. All right. So two major topics left that I need to tackle, particularly in this series, the concept of the conversations around the tithe, and also the concept of the first fruit. As taught in scriptures now, but let's pay attention to the tithe today. All right, so turn with me quickly to the book of Romans. Beautiful. Okay, I was going to start in John, but Romans 15. Okay, so look at Romans chapter 15. Go all the way to Romans chapter 15. Look at Romans chapter 15 verse 4. Romans chapter 15. Go all the way to verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Alright? Now, see what it says there. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. Alright? So, whatsoever things were written aforetime, that would be Paul writing to the, you know, the Romans and talking about the scriptures. Alright? So, the things that were written aforehand in the scriptures, in the real sense, they were written for our learning. So it means they were written so that we could learn from them. Alright, look at what it says next, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Are we together? Alright, so they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now it's very important to know that, you know, Paul is talking about the writings of Genesis all the way to Malachi. And we started paying attention to the conversation around the tithe. We're trying to answer the big question in Malachi chapter 3. We started explaining Malachi chapter 3 from last week, all right, then the week before. All right, so today we will now do something and start paying attention to the instructions or the things that were written aforetime, which we are to learn from. You know, Paul will tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, and he will say, and that from a child that was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. And the word they're wise is the word to be skillful unto salvation. He says, and all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable, that's they are advantageous for teaching. And in teaching, we have correction, right? And so we need to pay attention to the correction that God's word brings to our way, or God's word brings onto our heart, right? But fundamentally, scriptures are for teaching. So we are to teach from scripture. So it means that any doctrine we establish as saints would and should have its background in the scriptures. Are we together? Now, let's continue from where we stopped a few weeks ago. Now, if you look through what we've taught in the last few weeks, we said that the first mention of the word tithe was in Genesis. We saw an example of Abraham giving a tithe to the man called Melchizedek. And we saw an example of Jacob as well, promising to give a tithe when something happens. And we said that particularly, they were not giving the tithe to get blessed, right? So there is no biblical principle that teaches that you give so that you get blessed. In fact, it is you give so that others get blessed. Yeah, and mind you, I would have thought, or you'd have listened to me over the weeks or months, yeah, and would have thought about how the word blessing, it's not used for material prosperity fundamentally across scriptures. Are we together? So you don't see a man saying, I am blessed. And what it means by I am blessed is I own material things, or I have a lot of material acquisitions. No, we said the word blessed could either mean to be fortunate, or to be, or to speak well, or to say something good about that which is good. Do you understand that? Right? So we said that it is that something happened to Abraham, It is that some Jacob was expecting something to happen, then he will give. So it is you give, then another is blessed. So start looking at the concept of a tithe. Now, I will say, look at Leviticus chapter 27. I want us to just dive into this teaching this evening. Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus 27 verse 30. If you can, go all the way with me to Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30. And see what it says there carefully. It says, and all the tithe of the land, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, of the fruits of the tree, it is the Lord. Now, I told you that the word tithe is just a basic English word that just means tenth, a tenth or 10%. Or a tenth portion, all right? Yeah, so it says, and all the tithe, that's so a tenth of that which is of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, right? It is holy unto the Lord. Now, the word there, holy, doesn't mean that it has not committed sin. It doesn't mean that it was not handled by man. No, the word there, holy, just means it is sanctified. Now, the word holy in scripture means that which is separate, or that which is sacred, that which is sanctified. So when we say the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, what we're saying is the Spirit that is sanctified unto a particular purpose. Altogether, when the Bible says holy scriptures, it just means the writings that are sacred. Alright, so when it says it is holy unto the Lord, it means it is sacred unto the Lord. Now, the question now becomes, who really is going to get of it? Right, so a layman's English might think that man takes the tenth of the land and God sends his angels to come pick it from the land. Now, I told you about, you know, the doctrine that people say about how Melchizedek was Jesus Christ in the flesh who came to collect the tithe from Abraham, and that's very poor Bible interpretation. But together. Right, and I started explaining to you on Sunday what Melchizedek, what the narrative of Melchizedek was used to teach by Moses in the writings of Genesis. Right, now look at verse 31. It says, and if a man will at all redeem of his tithe, he shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof. So these are instructions that are written or that are given in the writings of Moses. Now, and Moses gave, right? And concerning the tithe of the herd, that is animals, right? Or of the flock, yeah, animals. Even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. What is holy unto the Lord? Sacred unto the Lord. Are we together? He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. Right? And it shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel. Don't miss that. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel. Hold on. Right, go all the way to Malachi 3, the big Malachi 3. Alright, so look at Malachi chapter 3. So don't forget the last line in Leviticus, right? It is, these are the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses, which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Right, go to Malachi, right? So Malachi chapter 1. So Malachi chapter 1 verse 1 says, this is the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So it is the same Israel that those commandments were given to in Leviticus that is being spoken to in Malachi chapter 1. So this is the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by the man Malachi. Alright, so go to chapter 2. Verse 1, right? It says, Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you, right? So if he's talking about priests, it's to me. Don't forget, the general tone of the book of Malachi is to the Israelites, right? So if the priest he will be commanding or talking to in chapter 2 will be those that are found in the family of Israel. Yeah, you get that, right? So it means that when you now go into the narrative of the tithe by taught in Malachi, you need to understand the background of Israel and the priest, right? Now, if you go back all the way to Leviticus chapter 27, you see something. It says, and all the tithe, verse 30, of the land. Now, that's a conversation about the land, right? And now that land, in the real sense, is what you call the promised land. Our together is what you call the promised land explained in scriptures, and maybe and that will point to our inheritance, or that which we a type or a pointer to our inheritance in Christ. Now, why were they taking a tent? It was to honor. Yeah, don't forget, we saw that. So when you say it is holy unto the Lord, it means in honor to the Lord, you set it apart. Are we together? In honor to the Lord, you set it apart. So was there a teaching about a promised land by Moses? Oh, yes. Were there conversations about the promised land by Moses? Oh, yes. Now, that promised land is now the land where we have come into, right? So go all the way to Hebrews chapter 12. If you would, go all the way to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Okay? Don't forget, there's the promise of land, right? Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. It says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, right? And unto the city of the living God." Now, the city of the living God is the land of God, which is called the promised land. Okay? And that's what you call Mount Zion. Are we together? What exactly does that mean? Verse 23, it says, or verse 22, it says, the heavenly Jerusalem. Why does the Bible use the narrative of the heavenly Jerusalem, yeah, to speak about the union of heaven and earth, yeah, that which is the temple, okay? Now, what exactly is the temple? The temple there is the city of the living God, right? The city of the living God there is really the Mount Zion. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. What really is it teaching about? Verse 23, to the general assembly of the and the church of the firstborn, which are written in where? In heaven. Which are written in heaven. Now, so it means that the promised land conversation had a form of honor and something dedicated. So there was something substantial first. If you notice from the teachings of Abraham and Jacob, right? Then there was now that attitude and act of giving, right? We looked at that a couple weeks ago. Now, so the promised land, now if you look at the land that is being spoken about in Leviticus, it goes as much to show you that God first is interested in relationship with man before what they call their tithe. Are we together? So God will speak about a particular land to show that God wanted a people that will have a relationship with him. So we are now those people in real sense through the resurrection that Hebrews will say, we have come unto Mount Zion, we have come to the city of the living God. So we are in the city, and the city is the bread we have eaten. Do you get it, right? It's all Bible language, right? And the bread is the seed, right? Who the sower has sown in our hearts, which is the seed of his word. And his word really is his blood, which is his life, his spirit in us. You get the point, right? So in the real sense, it means that God wants to have a people, or the overall fundamental goal of scriptures or God's plan from time is to have a people that will be called his people, right? So it means that it is first a people that will come together and will be a people before they will give something. All right, so they will first come together, right, and become his people. Then they will listen to some instructions as his people. Did you get that? Right, so it's not bring the instructions, bring the tithe, then you will now become God's person. In fact, look at how Proverbs, right, says that. Look at Proverbs 21. You can write Proverbs 21, verse 27. The same thing is said in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. So if you look at Proverbs chapter 21, 27, sorry, look at it. Proverbs 21, verse 27, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. Now, who will be the wicked? Fundamentally, will be that which has not received the relationship that God has offered to man, right? So the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Altogether. So for the unbeliever, what God expects for the unbeliever first is the heart, the relationship before any other thing. Yeah, you know, a few weeks ago I was talking about how we don't go around talking about get money anyhow, bring it anywhere, anyone can bring any money anyhow, and just bring it and, you know, we'll sanctify it on the altar. Altogether, what God is fundamentally after is not your money, is not your possession, it is your heart or the heart of man. Are we together? So an unbeliever first needs to receive life, come into that relationship. Then in coming into that relationship, we now see that in the real sense, there are certain things you will do out of your understanding of that relationship. Are we together? So the giving of the tithe was not a means to attain a relationship. The giving of the tithe was not a means to attain justification. The giving of the tithe was not a medium by which people were getting saved and sanctified. No, it is a people that will come to a city, now become God's people, then they will act in certain ways. All right. So now there are three fundamental types of tithes as taught in scriptures or by Moses, or let me call it tithes. Like types of tithes, or these three different uses of tithe as explained. Now, first of all, there's one we call the Lord's tithe. Now, look at Numbers chapter 18. And you know, mind you, I've taught you before that when we talk about the Lord's tithe or anything that has to do with God's money, it is actually man who spends it. Are we together? So, if you remember in our previous series, we started teaching about a sweet smelling savour, right? And we spoke about how they gave gifts to Paul, and Paul says that this is sweet smelling savour and is acceptable to God. And we said that in the real sense, that's just a practice of love work. We started explaining Cain and Abel, and we said that which Abel did was that there was a solid love work exhibited, right? And there was one who followed after the path of love, and the other didn't follow after the path of love. Are we together, right? So the same thing the Philippians will do to Paul, and Paul will say this is sacrifice acceptable unto God. So that it is acceptable unto God, it is just that it does not mean that it is God that is spending it. It is not God. It doesn't mean that it is God that is eating it. All right, you get it, right? It is another man that will eat it. In fact, before you go to, why did I say you should go to right now? Numbers 18. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Go back to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 13. Look at Isaiah 1 verse 13. Look at Isaiah 1 verse 13. Or look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? So God is saying, what do I don't need your sacrifices. Are we together? I'm full of burnt offerings of rams of fat, and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks, of lambs, of goats, right? So it means that when you read Leviticus 27 and you are saying the Lord is commanding that this is what should be brought, God doesn't delight in the blood of bullocks, in the blood of lambs, in the blood of goats. All together. How? So what does God really want? Look at verse 13. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13. Look at verse 12. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hands to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. Now look at verse 14. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hated. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Now look at verse 15. When you spread forth your hand, I will hide my face. Now look at verse 16. The instruction now comes. Wash yourself and make yourself clean, or wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings and cease to do evil. He says, put away, that means stop, cease, stop doing evil, right? And cease to do evil. Now, what's the solution to ceasing to do evil? It is verse 17. It says, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. So when you kill an animal and you say it is in honor to God, if it is another human being that eats of it, yeah, you call it well-pleasing and the sacrifice accepted. Do you understand? But when you kill the animal and leave it there and say, oh, God will come and pick it, or you just wasted something that another person could eat of. Look at it again. Isaiah 1:17. It says, learn to do well. So it means that he calls killing and not doing well, he calls it what? He calls it an evil. So it says, learn to do well, verse 17, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. So it means that those are narratives that should be love work demonstrated towards another man. And when another man receives it, we say it is sacrifice acceptable of God or to God. Are we together? So you do it in honor to God, but for another man, right? So like I said, I've said over time, yeah? So any giving that is done within a local assembly, within a local church, does not get to the heavenlies. It doesn't get to the supernatural world. It is spent with man, it remains with man, spent by man, given to man so that other men can actually get things to go well for themselves. So So Isaiah in his utterances will say, learn to do well, seek judgment. He will now say verse 18, come now, let us reason together. Come now, let us reason together. Come now, let us reason together, right? Though your sins. So the reasoning God wants to have with man fundamentally is, though your sins. So what is another way of saying, though your sins be as scarlet? It is, I want you to be in relationship with me. Right, so I want you to be in relationship with me means, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Yeah, for in God making your sins that be as scarlet, white as snow, it is God bringing you into a relationship with the Father, with Him. Are we together? Right, so you know that song, we've come to the Father through Jesus the Son, we give Him the glory, great things He has done. So though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that's the process by which God makes or brings man into a relationship with Himself. Now, are we together? Right, so if ye be willing and obedient, so go all the way to Numbers 18. Numbers 18. So every instruction we see, we must find a place where it is clearly stated that it is for man. Now the type of man might differ. Are we together? But it is for man. So there will be the man that will be fatherless. There will be man that will be stranger. There will be man that will be priest. There will be man. So let's look at all of that. Yeah, so go to Numbers chapter 18. All right. So if you look at Numbers chapter 18 quickly. Numbers 18. Verse 20, permit me, I want to take my speed up a little, right? So Numbers 18:20, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Are we together? Right, neither shalt thou have any part among them, for I am thy part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel. Stop. Right, so there'll be Aaron. Right, remember on Sunday we started looking at Aaron. We looked at Aaron, looked at the Levites, looked at Abraham, looked at Melchizedek. Are we together? So God, the instruction to Aaron will be that, oh, as for Aaron and your lineage, I am your part, I am your inheritance among the children of Israel. Look at verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in the Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve. Are we together? Right, so there's the giving of a tenth in Israel as an inheritance for the service of the Levites, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come near to the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites, so who will be the Levites? They will be those who will be priests. On Sunday, we saw from Hebrews 5 verse 1, a priest is one that is taken from amongst men regarding conversations around sin. Right, so the Levite shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity, and it shall be a statue forever. Now, when you say it shall be a statue forever, it is that it is God that is doing it. So, why should you see a Levite doing the service in the tabernacle? A man will not do the service in the tabernacle forever. It will be a pointer to that which God will do, because He is the only one that will do things forever. Are we together? So don't get carried away about the service of the Levites in the temple, right? For your attention really should go to our priest and our high priest, who really will do a work forever. We'll see that. Look at that in Hebrews. Are you following? Right? So it shall be a statute forever throughout your generation that among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. So it means it was a consistent conversation that the Levites should not have an inheritance in among the children of Israel. Now watch it, 24. Now, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto who? Unto the Lord. Look at what it says. I have given to the Levites to inherit. So it means that other communities will give their tithe as children of Israel unto the Lord. But in giving unto the Lord, they are giving to the Levites. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levite, and say unto them, when you take the tithe of the children of Israel, the tithe which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it to the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. So the tithe of the tithe, okay? And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye shall also offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithe, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. All right. Out of all your gifts, ye shall offer every heave offering unto the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when you have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levite as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your household, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. Are we together? Right? So that's an example. If you look at Joshua chapter 21, so this one will be for unto the Lord, right? For the priest, right? Look at Joshua chapter 21, verse 3. Joshua 21. Joshua 21 verse 3. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levite out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord. Are we together? Right? They gave unto the children of unto the Levite out of their inheritance. So they took a part of their possession and gave to those that were doing the work of the service. Yeah, follow attentively. Look at Numbers 35 verse 7. Numbers chapter 35 verse 7. So I've read Numbers 18, 20 to 20 to 31. I've read Joshua 21, 3 and 4. I didn't get to 4. Look at Numbers 35 verse 7 to 8. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levite shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. Right? And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many, ye shall give many. But from them that have a few, ye shall give a few. Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levite according to his inheritance which he inherited. All together. So that's giving unto the Levite, which is giving unto the Lord. Yeah, don't forget. All right. So go all the way to the second type of tithe. There's the festival tithe. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. I'm going to spin through Deuteronomy chapter 12 quickly. Verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. I'm going to spin through all the way to 19. Deuteronomy 12, 5. Now look at verse 5, Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offering of your hand and your vows and your free will offerings and the firstlings of your herds of and your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God. Yeah, look at this carefully. So they were going to bring certain offerings of their tithe, and they were going to eat before the Lord. So there's a tithe that is given to the Levite, and there's a tithe which they were to eat before the Lord God. Yeah. So, and there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hands unto, ye and your household, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Look at verse 8. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whosoever is right in his own eyes. Now look at verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 9. It says, for ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Tithes shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offering sacrifice, your tithe, your heave offering, right, your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters, your manservants, your maidservants, the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself, that thou offer not thy burnt offering in every place that thou seest, but in the place where the Lord shall cause, shall choose in one of the tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there shall do all that I command thee. Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all the gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he had given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck, and as of the ox. Only ye shall not eat the blood, ye shall pour it upon the earth as water. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, or thy wine, or thy oil, or the firstlings of thy herds, or of thy flock, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offering, or heave offering of thy hand, but thou must eat them before the Lord. So this is a festival kind of tithe that is to be eaten before the Lord, right? So we've seen two types of tithes. Right, there is tithe. So before you get to the tithe of Malachi 3, right, and bring your the tithe into the storehouse, and then maybe meet in my house, you must have read Moses, who is the foundational writer of the prophet Malachi. I want to get that. So Moses talks about verse 18. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Thou and thy sons, thy daughters, maid servants shall rejoice thy God in all. Before the Lord thy God, and thou puttest thy hands unto. I'm just reading fast. Take heed to yourselves that thou forsake not the leaven as long as thou livest upon the earth. Listen to this. Take heed to yourself that as long as thou livest upon the earth, do not forsake the Levites. Who are the Levites? The Levites are the community, the genealogy, or the people who are designated to do the priestly work. Now, because of their attitude of service, God says, I am your inheritance. So what is I am your inheritance to the Levites? It is that other people will take from their inheritances and give to the Levites. Yeah? So when other people take from their inheritances, the other tribes, right, and give to the Levitical tribe, what is the Levitical tribe seeing? The Levitical tribe is seeing God as their inheritance, God as their possession. Right? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. So before you go around bamboozling people, if you don't give tithe, devourer will follow you. If you don't give tithe, you need to understand what exactly is the Bible teaching around devourer. What exactly is the Bible teaching when it says, bring you all the tithe and I will open the windows of heaven, right, and pour out a blessing. You get that, right? So God is pouring out a blessing to the Levite. How is God pouring out that blessing? In the real sense, we see other nations, other tribes rather, taking from their inheritances to supply the needs of the Levites. Please, follow attentively. There's a lot I'm saying. There's a lot I'm still going to say, right? I'm taking this teaching a pace ahead because I've laid foundations in the last 6-7 teachings, all right? So go all the way to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. I really would admonish you, take this track and listen to it again. So the last Wednesday's teaching is the doctrine of tithes, part 1. This is going to be the doctrine of tithe, part 2. Are we together? Now, so look at verse 22, Deuteronomy chapter 14. Yeah? So thou shalt, don't forget, these are instructions to a people. Okay? So thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place. Is that similar to Deuteronomy 12? Yeah. Where this is the festival kind of tithing, the festival kind of eating. Are we together? Right? Are we together? Now, there's now the tithe for the less privileged or the poor. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28. There's a lot to say, but we'll be fine, all right? So, look at verse 27. And the Levites that are within thy gate, we read that in Deuteronomy 12, thou shalt not forsake him, for he had no part nor inheritance with thee. Do you understand? Because God is going to be their inheritance for their service. Yeah? Alright? Okay? So, look at verse 28. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thy increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. Are you following? And the Levite, into bracket, because he had no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger. So the tithe will be for the Levite. Yeah, look at the next thing. For the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, which are within thy gates. Don't forget Isaiah 1. To what multitude is the purpose, or to what purpose is the multitude of the sacrifices unto me? Right? Learn to do good. Stop doing evil. Yeah? What is that? It says, learn to seek judgment for the oppressed. Right? Take care of the fatherless. Take care of the widows. Yeah? So that's the instruction that Isaiah gives us at an utterance. Because God in the real sense, so it means that taking care of the poor is going to be a pointer to what God will do by the resurrection. So you will be that which was once poor, and God will take care of you by the blessing he will pour out from the window of heaven. Right? So there's a window of heaven that God supplies a blessing, and that blessing will be the blessing of his spirit, which quenches your poverty. Right? Yeah? So Paul will now teach it as you were poor, we were poor. Yeah, he who was rich was made poor that we might become rich. And the riches is the righteousness we've received, the spirit we've received. Are we together? Right? So in the real sense, God will quench the hunger called sin, right, with his love and his spirit. Yeah? The same way they will quench their hunger of the fatherless and the widow. Please listen attentively. Alright? So, and the Levite, verse 29, because he had no part, no inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gate, shall come, and shall eat and what? And be satisfied. So it means that all of these broad should be able to feed everyone to satisfaction. Are we together? Yeah. So there will be room too small to contain. Do you get that? Right? It means that everyone is filled to dissatisfaction. Yeah. So that's why the Lord's Prayer will now tell you, our Father who art in heaven, right? 2 weeks ago, don't forget. Hallowed be. See, why do I teach the way I teach? I teach the way I teach because I can't possibly say a lot in 1 hour, 30 minutes. Yeah. So guess what? What am I doing? I'm recapping what I've taught you a few weeks ago. So our Father, don't forget, who art in heaven. Yeah, we said the Father in heaven gives true bread. And we said the true bread the Father gives is the Spirit. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is, sanctified is your work, your name, your work. Only you does it, right? Yeah, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? You give us this day our daily bread. Now, we said the word daily bread doesn't mean bread every day. You see, that prayer doesn't say that God will give every believer food to eat every day. No, no, no. There are believers that die of hunger. Yeah, 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 yeah. And even if God gives you bread every day, you probably wouldn't eat it every day. Well, save some of you. Yeah. So the point is, look at it. You give us this day our daily bread. Now, we said the word daily means is the bread that is eternal. It is the bread that satisfies, right? So we're once in the category of the poor, and we eat of the bread that satisfies. And that bread that satisfies is the tithe. Are you listening this evening? Are you following? Right? So the same way the fatherless and the widow in the real sense will eat of the tithe gathered together is the same way we will eat of the blessing. Yeah, yeah. And what will be the blessing? The tithe, which is the meat, which is the meat in the storehouse. Don't forget, meat in the storehouse, bread in the storehouse, seed in the storehouse, blood in the storehouse, water in the storehouse, wine in the storehouse, garment of salvation in the storehouse, yeah, and all of that is the spirit. So the spirit is that which is the daily bread that fills us up and we are satisfied. Yeah, so that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the works of thy hand which thou doest. Are you following? Right, and at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. That's chapter 14. You can read that downward to convenience. Look at chapter 26, verse 12. Deuteronomy 26, verse 12. Deuteronomy 26, verse 12. So, when the Bible says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that I may meet in my house. Yeah, so the meat in the house is the bread in the house. Yeah, are we together? Well, okay. So, it means that the teaching of the taking apart to satisfy the Levite, to satisfy the fatherless, to satisfy the widow, is actually going to be a pointer to teach something else. Do you get that? So something else will be taught with something else. Yeah, guess what? That's how the Bible is written. Yeah, you know, some of you ask, but Pastor, why did Moses try to confuse? Is you that you are seeing that's confused? Why? Because you don't want to be patient enough to read the Bible holistically. You see, more often than not, most pastors can quote Malachi 3 verse 10, but cannot explain it. More often than not. Are we together? Yeah? Because you should be able to know that before you get to Malachi, there was Genesis, there was Exodus, there was Leviticus, there were several books. Yeah, that Prophet Malachi would have had access to before writing the book of Malachi. So, if interestingly, we don't even read Malachi chapter 1, where the Bible says that, oh, this is the burden of the word of the Lord to the Israelites. through Malachi. Then chapter 2, this commandment is for the priest. We don't read it. We go to Malachi 3 verse 10 because we want to threaten people. If your life is tight, check your tithe. Eh? If you don't want your life to be tight, yeah, you have to give your tithe. Yeah, yeah. In the real sense, we now, because so a lot of us who generally don't even like giving, man doesn't like giving by default. That's why it is solid enough to call it riches of liberality. Because an average man is stingy, and you work for yourself. You want to satisfy yourself. However, you see an instruction that in satisfying themselves, they took a part. Right, in honor to God, because all fingers will never be equal. Are we together? All fingers will never be equal. So all saints will never have access to the same material things. All right, did you get that right? Where I say you should go to Deuteronomy 26, go to Deuteronomy 26 verse 12. Deuteronomy 26 verse 12. Are you there? Deuteronomy 26 verse 12. Look at verse 10. And now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land. Don't forget, I told you I'm going to teach you about the first fruits. So, were there instructions to bring first fruits? Yes. But what will the first fruit be used to teach? The first fruit will be used to teach that which is first begotten from the land of the dead. The same way the tithe will be used to teach that which satisfies a man that once didn't have. Hallelujah. So it means that when you teach about the first fruit, you teach Christ Jesus. When you teach about the tithe, you teach Christ Jesus. Because those are they which satisfies man that is poor, that is hungry. Well, so look at Deuteronomy 26 verse 10. And now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. Right? And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. So it means the practice of bringing first fruit as well is a sign of honor, a sign of worship to the Lord. Who will really take the first fruit? It is man. No. It is a way that God, that the hunger of man will be quenched. So, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thy house, thou and the Levite and the strangers that are among you. So, tithe tackles Levite, tackles strangers, tackles the poor. First fruit tackles the same set of people. And spiritually, we wear those. So think about it. The Bible says, let the tithe be used to feed the fatherless. Right? So now we were without a father. Yeah? So God wasn't our father right from time, in the real sense, until we came into the relationship. So what does God use to quench that hunger so that you are no longer fatherless? It is the tithe, which really is going to be himself as the meat in the house. That is the temple. Yeah. So look at the stuff. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithe of thy increase the third year, which is the year of tithing. So look at it this way. There is tithing of the third year. And you have given it unto the Levite, the strangers, the fatherless, the widow. He recaps it again. That means not a mistake. Right? Right? He says, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within the gate. And what? And be filled. So the goal of the first fruit, the goal of the tithe is to quench hunger. To fill to the brim. To fill to the brim. So there needs to be meat in the storehouse of God that fills to the brim. And that meat really is the bread of Christ, or the bread of God, right? The bread of heaven. That's the true bread that quenches the hunger in the heart of man. Did you get that? So you have the Levites. You see God doing a conversation. Now, let's take it a step back, okay? Okay, so there is Abraham that gave a tithe. Melchizedek did not ask for it. So it means that before Exodus, before Numbers, before these laws were given, there was the practice that we saw that Abraham and Jacob did out of honor. Nobody asked for it. So when the Israelites walk, they take a tenth of what they have and give to the Levite, right? So that they'll give to the fatherless, give to the stranger, so they can live on and can support them. Altogether. So it means that you must know this. So Moses will see the practice of Father Abraham. We'll see the practice of Father Jacob. And in seeing those practices, he will pick the honor, right? So, look, don't forget, Abraham went to fight a war with 318 trained men. And on his way back, he met the man Melchizedek. And in meeting Melchizedek, the Bible says he gave a tithe to Melchizedek, right? Out of honor to God. Don't forget, I told you, it is not prescriptive. It is descriptive. Right? So when we read Numbers, we read 12, Deuteronomy chapter 12, Numbers chapter 18, they spoke about when, third year. They spoke about where, yeah, God will put a place or the place where God will put his name. And they spoke about how it should be given. So there's yearly, there's third year, right? Then in the real sense, there's the attitude that was mentioned. So you need to note that the tithe never took wings to heaven. It was commanded where to go, who it was to be given to, and who was to eat it. So it was strictly amongst men. So any doctrine about tithe that makes you give, that gives that illusion that it goes straight to the throne of grace is not true. Yeah? So the tithe had an instruction. So Moses will pick the honor part and the practice of their fathers. So the reason for the tithe was a sense of worship. Don't forget, worship, reverence. For who? From who? For those who are in a relationship with the Father. Yeah, don't forget, we two series ago, we did the teaching of the doctrine of praise and worship. We spoke about what worship is and how worship has to dealt with sacrifice, you know, honor. So in the real sense, the goal was for man to honor God, but to make sure that men are living on certain things that provides feeling or satisfaction. So it was taken yearly. Now, in the real sense, why do you think it was taken yearly and in some part and those situations were given? Because you don't plant a fruit today and it germinates tomorrow. Altogether. Yeah? So the frequency had to do with when they would get the income or the harvest from what they planted. Don't forget, majority of them were into what? Animal husbandry and farming. Yeah, you can say animal machine under farming. Yeah. So the yearly one. Does that look sustainable? Because you are not a farmer. Mm. Altogether. Think about it this way. Yeah, Abraham did not give his own yearly or did not give tithe yearly. Abraham had a one of victory, one type of victory, and gave a tithe. Yeah? But he did it in honor. So the practice that you now see Moses giving commandments to the children of Israel, don't forget, Moses is giving the commandment to the children of Israel. So the practice that Moses will give to the children of Israel will be sustainable only because of the practice of their income or the practice of their, what's the word? What's this word? When you call your daily activities or your career. So the yearly one cannot be sustained. It looks unsustainable. With our generation today, are we together? However, yeah, the practice of honor be sustained? Yes. So if the practice is sustained, we would say, what was their why? So if we say, okay, the practice of honor started with Abraham, then it was transferred as instructions to the Israelites. What was the why? What was the why? Dear saints, the answer is really simple. Honor for the Lord. And honor for humanity, right? What you call the love work. All together. So we might not be able to sustain the where, yes, because the world has grown bigger, right? There are diverse kinds of occupations. We might not be able to sustain the when, the where, but what of the why? Think about that. What is the most important? Is it the where? Is it the when? No, it is the why. It is that there is a love work being practiced. When the heart of a generous man is put into play or is put into display. Altogether. So the tithe will be seen as a means of making provision for others simple. Don't forget that. The tithe will be seen as a means of making provision for others. So it started before what you call the law, but it was sustained in the law. Why? It is because the most important thing about the giving is the why. What is the why? Love work. What is the reason for the tithe? It is to make provision for others. Did you get that? So provision for who? Levite. Provision for who? Fatherless. Provision of who? Widowless. That's a widowless. Widow. Right? Provision for who? Strangers. Did you get that? So let's go back to Malachi. Let's go to the big Malachi. So if you have an understanding of this, Malachi shouldn't be difficult to understand for you or to explain to you. Right? So go all the way to Malachi. Before you go to Malachi, go to John chapter 1, verse 45. Go to John chapter 1, verse 45. John chapter 1. Don't forget, the reason or the why is the honor, making provision for others. Mind you, it was after they got, listen to what I'm about to say. It was after they planted, they got harvest that they brought tithe. They never brought tithe because they wanted to get more harvest. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you know what I just said? Right? They never brought tithe because they wanted to get more harvest. So it means that tithe was never a seed, and tithe is never a seed. So, if they wanted to get more harvest or more fruit, what would they do? They would take from what they had, go and plant it or plant the seed, and it will bring more harvest. You know the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in the land, and he reaped a hundredfold. What is he sowed in the land? He took the seed and planted in the land. Let me say it again. There is no pastor on earth that has the anointing to multiply money. Not one. Not one. In case there is, in case you find, that anointing was never bestowed on that man by our Lord and Savior. Never. Yeah? Yeah? So, there is no man that has the anointing to make, to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I can make you wealthy in 5 days. No. That's Ponzi scheme. Yeah. Right? So, tithe is never for multiplication. What is the goal of tithe? The goal of tithe is so that there is provision for others. It is simple. So see, tithe is not the initial thing you give. It is, you've gone to work, you've been paid, you've gotten the harvest. So your work is your seed. So think about me, right? I work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, 9 to 6, right? That my work I'm doing is my seed. I'm planting my seed. Where am I planting the seed? In the heart of the person that employed me. So why do you think Christians that pay tithe work for people who don't believe in God? It's because, see, the seed sowing practice in this world is so plain for everybody. Yeah? So I don't need to be a Christian to sow my seed of good work every Monday to Friday. So I sow good work every Monday to Friday and I'm paid. What is my harvest? So the way Abraham would plant, the way the Israelites would plant, me, I'm planting in my workspace, in the heart of my employee. Is it employee or employer? You get the point, right? The person that employed me. Right, and when I do that, they give me, so they make more money, they pick from the money, they share amongst us doing the work, and that's what you call salary. So what do I do with that salary? I take that salary and I take a portion from it and give what, so that there is provision made for others, because whether we like it or not, we will not always have everybody doing well financially. It see, as long as man remains on this earth and man remains covetous, we will never. Yeah. So what happens? As a pastor, I work and I pick from what they give me, so you can call it tithe. So you see, the word tithe is not an evil word. It's just that we made it look evil. So I pick tithe. What is tithe? English word 10. So I can say, if Abraham could give 10, Israelites giving 10, I'm free from the bondage of the commandments. Yeah? I'm free from the pressure that people teach around the giving or the concept of giving. And what do? I abound yet more to the generous heart that I have received in Christ Jesus. So I pick a percentage, right? I pick a tenth, let's assume it's a tenth or more, right? And I give it towards the cause of another doing well, or another becoming better, or another feeding. So it means that the category of the the fatherless, the widow, the, you know, strangers and all those things, we can fit into several things. But in the real sense, we must understand that, you see, it was never given to get more. So there was not a principle that said, when you give your tithe this year, your next year will be rolling over. Yeah? So I'm going to teach you about that scripture. You know the Bible that says, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. Shake it together. Pray for me, right? I have a lot to say, right? But I might teach that this year or not. Yeah? But when the Bible says, give, it shall be given unto you. Yeah? That's what we use for offering time. Give, it shall be given unto you. Okay? Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Don't stop there. Shall men give into your bosom? So shall men. And what is Jesus teaching in that parable? Jesus really is teaching about judgment and forgiveness. Right? So give forgiveness. Yeah, let me not take that today. But look at John 1. Yeah, so that's the mindset people now take towards giving, right? Ah, I'm giving a tenth. God will open up a star. Okay, I don't say something troublesome now, but yeah, you might not let it go. Yeah, so look at John 1:45. Philip finds Nathanael. John 1:45. Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. Did Moses ever mention the name Jesus? No. Did Moses write about Jesus? Yes. So it should begin to make sense. So when you see first fruits, your mind should begin to know that, whilst Moses did not say first fruit equal Jesus, Moses is teaching a fundamental message, Christ Jesus. Look at it again. John 1:45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Look at Jesus in John 5:39. For time, just go to John 5:45. Look at verse 46. John 5:46. For had ye believed Moses, this is Jesus. John 1:45, Philip finds Nathanael and say, oh, this is he whom Moses wrote about, Jesus. Look at Jesus now. Look at John 5:46. John 5:46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. He wrote of me. Yeah, but he never called the name Jesus. But Jesus said he wrote of me. So it means you should see Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, in the teaching of the tithe, in the teaching of the first fruit, in the teaching of offerings, in the teaching of sacrifice. Do you get that? Yeah? Look at verse 47. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word? So Moses did not just teach or did not just write about Jesus. Jesus taught his ministry, or in Jesus' ministry, his teaching content were the writings of Moses. Together, right? So go back to Malachi 3. That's where you were going to, right? Before I said go to John, go to Malachi chapter 3. All right, so look at Malachi chapter 3. Don't forget, who is God talking to in the book of Malachi? Go back to chapter 1 verse 1. We saw that earlier on and last week. Malachi chapter 1 verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. He didn't say to Nigeria. Don't forget, this same Israel were the same people who Moses gave the commandment in Genesis to what? Deuteronomy. Did you get that? So it means that before you just speak about the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel, what was said first? Do you understand? Because what is now said will be on account of what was said before. Are you following? So who was God talking to? Well, let me say it this way. Who is Malachi talking to? The book of Malachi fundamentally is talking to a nation that was backsliding. So what will backsliding mean? Don't forget, it means that they were to walk in honor towards God, bringing from what they had and quenching the hunger of others. In not doing that, they are walking in dishonor. That is why the Bible says, you have robbed me. Did you get that? Right? So, Malachi 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. Look at Malachi 2. So, it says, now, Malachi chapter 2. Now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. So, who will be the priest? They will be the Levites under the lineage of Aaron. So, go to chapter 3 now. In case you've missed it, Malachi now starts teaching you about what the real deal is. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. We saw this on Wednesday. Our money shoot, get Wednesday's teaching last week, right? It's on Google Podcast already, on our podcast platforms for your news. So, look at Malachi 3, verse 1. It says, behold, I will send my messenger. We saw this last week, and we said, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is that? If you know the Bible well enough, yeah, at least to a basic extent, you know that is John the Baptist. And we saw that Jesus quoted this scripture, right? So, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Dear saints, how will he suddenly come to his temple? It's by the resurrection now. By the resurrection. Look at it. Even the messenger of the covenant whom he delights, behold, he shall come. Come where? To his temple. Says the Lord of hosts. So the Lord of hosts is saying the Lord shall come to his temple. The Lord shall come to his temple. That's what Malachi is saying. Malachi is saying the Lord shall come to his temple. Oh, but before the Lord shall come to his temple, there will be a messenger that will be sent ahead to prepare the way. Who was that? John the Baptist. The Lord shall come to his temple. Don't forget. The Lord shall come to his temple. Look at verse 6. For I am the Lord, right? Don't forget, before I get to chapter 6, go to chapter 5. chapter 3, verse 5, sorry. No, let's just read it through. Let me not jump something. Look at Malachi 3, 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who may abide the day of his coming? What is his coming? His coming is the sudden appearance in the temple. Yeah. So who shall abide the day of his coming? Right? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver. What is that? That's going to be the work of the resurrection, of sanctification. And he shall purify the sons of the Levite and purge them as gold and silver. Purge them as gold and silver. Look at it. Don't forget, he didn't say that what he is going to refine is silver. Look at verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. As a, yeah, right? Yeah? Yeah, we started on Sunday, right? Yeah, when you use the figure of speech, as and like. Yeah, when you say, and the Holy Ghost descended upon Jesus in a bodily form like a dove. There was no dove. Are we together? There was no dove. A lot of people now, their doctrine is, dove is the symbol of Holy Ghost. It's not doctrinal. It's anti-doctrine. Look at it. Yeah, so look at verse 3. That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. As in the days of old and as in former years. When an offering, when a sacrifice is pleasant unto the Lord, who is giving it? Man. Who is man giving it to? Man is giving it to man, for man. How do you know? Look at verse 5. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift witness. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling or in his wages. The widow, you see, widow now comes in again. Fatherless now comes in again. So, the offering, the tithe, is to be gathered to make sure the fatherless are satisfied or are filled. Right? And that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. You see that? So, this will only make sense to you because you've read Deuteronomy today. You've read Numbers today. You've read Leviticus today. Now, look at verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Are we together? Altogether. Now, even from the days of your fathers, you were gone away from my ordinances. So it means that there were certain ordinances that they went away from. And that's, look at it. And I've not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? So God is speaking to a people. And he's saying, you all have gone away from our ordinances. You've gone away from these ordinances. Return yourself. And so what is the call in Malachi 3? It's a call to repent. Repent from what? Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Stop there. Before you go to verse 8, go back to verse 2. Don't forget, the narrative of verse 1 is about the Lord that will suddenly come into his temple. What will the Lord that comes into his temple do? Look at verse 3. He will be as a refiner fire and like a fuller soap. What exactly will refiner fire be and fuller soap be? It will be to cleanse from sin by resurrection. To cleanse from sin by resurrection. Who is Paul talk? Who is Malachi talking to? Malachi is addressing the priest. Don't forget. So God over, in the real sense, let there be food for the fatherless and widows is another way of teaching that God will supply food for you who was fatherless, for you who was a stranger. Ephesians 2. We were strangers. We've now come into the commonwealth of Zion. Do you understand? So the same way we were strangers, we are now sanctified by the refiner's fire, by the fuller soap. We've been made clean. So what is he now teaching? He's now saying these were ordinances that were established right from time. And you've departed from these ordinances. He says, so God is saying to them, repent. Now look at verse 8. He says, so God is now laughing. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is where? In tithe and in offering. Okay? So, did they rob God? Yes. Oh, gracious Father. Well, okay. So, look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. I have said a lot of things in today's teaching. Yeah? Look at Matthew 21, verse 13. And I hope you've been following. So we want to address, how did he rob God? Yeah. So look at Matthew 21, verse 13. Verse 12. And Jesus went into where? The what? Into where? Is in your Bible. Into what? Matthew 21, 12. Into the temple of God. Oh, stop. Right? So was there a physical temple Jesus went into? Yes. I want to get that. If you read John 2, because of time, go to John 2, 21. Right, you speak about how Jesus will speak about, I will destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they wanted to fight him. Why? Because it took their fathers years to build that temple. Right, so Jesus goes into a temple. Right, and what did Jesus do? He casted out all men that sold and bought in the temple. He overturned the tables of money changers. I'm going to teach this, right? This needs to be taught properly, else you will see a Jesus with a king. Yeah. Well, he overthrew the tables of the money changers. You see, he wasn't even well acknowledged as a Jesus, right? Bible does not record that he went there with bodyguards or with his disciples that eventually even denied and betrayed. Yeah. Bible does not teach that, but in the real sense, it means that for them not to have accepted him, are you really sure that men who are selling in the temple a Jesus who nothing infers that he was going to gym, who just go and scatter the hotel, people that didn't even honor him. Well, so look at it. And the seeds of them were sold doves. Now listen to where I'm taking you to. Look at verse 13. If you miss this, right? Yeah? You'll be all right. Look at verse 13. And said unto them, it is written, this is in the book of Isaiah, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Stop. You've made it a den of thieves. Look at verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. What is Jesus teaching here? What they were selling, they did not steal it. And those that were doing money changing, buru the change, they did not steal the money. Those that were selling dope, they didn't steal the money. Those that were doing all kinds of buying and selling, they didn't steal. They were not thieves. Why did he call that place a den of thieves? A layman English infers that in the real sense, a den of thieves means this is a place where thieves are gathered. But these are not thieves. But yet he calls that place a den of thieves. That's to tell you, you pay attention to what he's doing. Yeah, I don't have time for that, but I'll teach you something later. I've taught you before, really. But summarily of that is that he's saying that they've robbed the purpose of the temple. What is the purpose of the temple? He did what the purpose of the temple is meant for. Verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. So the temple is for supplying healing to man. Yeah? Yeah, but what were they doing? They were doing buying and selling. So in the fact that they robbed the temple of its purpose, he calls it a den of thieves. Not they were thieves in the den. No. He calls it a den of thieves because they robbed the temple of its purpose, and the purpose is to supply healing through bread, right, to mankind. I'm not going to say more than that for today. Okay? So go back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Malachi 3, 8. How do you better see the word rob there? Don't forget, he's calling a people to repentance. So did they really rob God? Look at the question now. See, if that question stopped as, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer did not come. Maybe you would have said, okay. But the Bible clearly tells you that how they robbed God was in tithe and offering. Right? So, who was Malachi speaking to? Israelites. Who particularly was he speaking to in chapter 2? The priest. Okay? Then he speaks about Jesus, who is like the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. So, did they rob God? Yes. How did they rob God? Don't forget, he says that from your days of your fathers, they've drifted away from the ordinances. That means there were certain things that were to be done in honor, and they did not do it. In not doing it, they were robbing God. Yeah. So the temple was for supplying healing. In not supplying healing, he caused what they were doing on the place they were a den of thieves. So were they thieves? They were thieves, they were robbers, not because they stole from other people, but they were thieves and they were robbers in the fact that they deprived. Yeah, they deprived that temple from the purpose of the temple. You get that? So, did they rob God? Yes. Don't forget, the tithe and the offering never went to God. So, what is Malachi 3 addressing? Malachi 3 is addressing that you've robbed God in the fact that that which is the tithe and the offering that you are supposed to bring to quench this and give satisfaction to other men, you are not doing it. Are you getting it? So, they had robbed God in the fact that they were not providing what? Food. For who? He told you now. Go back to verse 5. Widow, fatherless, strangers. You know, if you followed me all through, we've read widow, fatherless, strangers, Levites, all the way from Genesis. So, it means that they were supposed to bring tithe to quench the hunger of these people. What did they not do? They did not bring it. So, in not bringing it, what did he call it? He says, you've robbed God. Is it God they've really robbed? Yes, they've robbed God in the fact that they did not give the honor due to God, in that they did not give other men what they were supposed to eat and get filled with. Are we together? So they robbed the poor in that they were denied the privilege. So it means that the poor were denied the privilege of eating the tithe. Do you remember? Yeah? They were together at the gates and eat the tithe, and they will be filled. And they'll be satisfied. So they've robbed the poor of the privilege. They've denied the poor of the privilege of eating the tithe. So the Levitical priesthood had abandoned what? Don't forget, chapter 2, verse 1, Malachi. This commandment is for you, O ye priests. Right? So the Levitical priesthood, they had abandoned the teaching of Moses. What was the teaching of Moses? He tells you, in tithe and offering, they've robbed God. So Moses taught that eating the tithe is going to be that which quenches the hunger of the fatherless, the widows, the strangers, right? So what was Moses really doing? Moses was using the eating of the tithe to teach God provides. Oh, gracious Father. You see, you should know already that it's so interesting to see all these things right in front of us. Well, I'm excited really. That's what I was going to say. Right? So now, what was the tithe to do? The tithe was to supply provision to the Levite, to the strangers, to the fatherless, to the widow. Yeah. Yeah. What was that to teach? That was to teach that God supplies true provision to the spiritual fatherless. Yeah. Yeah, that's unbeliever. Yeah, is that true? Stranger. Yeah, is that true? Widow. Yeah, is that true? Yeah. So the same way, so Moses will teach, bring tithe for the strangers to eat. And what he's teaching, don't forget John 1:45. This is he whom Moses in the law wrote about. Jesus says, if you have believed Moses, you will believe me, for Moses wrote about me. So whilst he's teaching about, okay, on the third year, okay, get the tithe together, let all the strangers sit together, let everybody eat the tithe and be filled. He didn't miss it. He says, they will be filled and satisfied. So what Moses is doing, he's using that to teach, oh, there is the true bread of heaven, right? The daily bread, the sufficient bread. That is the bread of salvation that God supplies to man, and man's hunger is tarnished forever. Yeah. Do you understand? So it was an ordinance to teach. So Moses, it will be a teaching aid to communicate of a truth God provides. Of a truth God provides. Of a truth God provides. So now, let's now take it back to the ordinance. Of a truth to you and I, does God really provide? Yes. Okay. Does God provide real food to eat? Yes. How does God provide real food? Another man will abound to the riches of his liberality, and he will sow a seed in his heart in that we see that he gives. Yeah? So, that's what Paul will say, for my God shall supply your needs. So, what is Moses teaching? Moses is teaching that to the fatherless, to the strangers, right? The same way God, how do I say that? To the fatherless, to the strangers, God will supply your needs. How? According to his riches in glory. So it will mean that other people that we have will gather together and give to the poor. And they will eat together. For the saints, now it is how other people will gather together, give to the poor, right? And in the real sense, that is God meeting the needs of the saints. The same way he has met the need of the unbeliever who you were. You were once an unbeliever that had a need, and your need was you didn't have food. That means you were poor. So God now gives you himself as the true salvation, the true bread from heaven. Altogether. So they had robbed God of what God wanted to do. What did God want to do? God wanted to give those without inheritance an inheritance of his unfailing love, of his everlasting love. So out of love for the stranger, out of love for the fatherless, God wanted a way that God will meet their needs. Then Moses will come and say, oh, get all your tithes together. Let the fatherless, let the poor, let them eat. That's God's way of meeting their needs. So that's the same way men are to meet the needs of others, right? So the plan was for men to turn from their unbeliefs and receive the inheritance that God gives. So the same way the fatherless will eat the inheritance, right, which is a tithe, is the same way as unbelievers, we turn our hearts from unbelief and receive the inheritance of what? True bread. What is true bread? Forgiveness of sins. Are we together? So look at Malachi chapter 3. I hope you are getting it, right? So Malachi 3, he now says verse 9. Don't forget, he says, you've robbed me in. So a summary of Malachi 3:8 is, God is saying you have robbed me in tithes and offering. Look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. The question now becomes, what is the curse? Is God really cursing? So let's explain it properly. Now, look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into where? The storehouse. What is bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse? That there may be meat in my house. How did he say it in verse 2? Go to verse 2 quickly. How did he say it in verse 2? Verse 1, sorry. Yeah? So verse 1 says, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. So who is the Lord that suddenly comes to his temple? It is the meat that is needed in the house of God. Don't forget, Paul will tell you, for we are now the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? If you go all the way to chapter 3. So he says, bring you all the tithes, right? That there may be meat in my house. So what is God? So what was Moses using tithes to teach? That there is meat. Sufficient enough to satisfy their hunger of the fatherless, those that did not have an inheritance. That is used to teach that the true inheritance of the riches of Christ is what has satisfied and quenched our hunger eternally. So that there will be meat in my house is what? That it will be the consequence of when the Levite repents and receive the correction from who? From the messenger of the covenant. So there will be meat in the house, the same way, irrespective of what was available, the Macedonians provided meat, as Paul would teach in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. altogether. Right? So look at Acts 7:48. Let me try wrap up this evening. Hopefully, I'm going to spill over a little, but just let's trust in the power and the ability of our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Acts 7:48. Look at Acts 7:48. But Solomon built him a house. Are you there? But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, in the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as says the prophet. All together. So Solomon tried to build a house. That house, in the real sense, the worst or the best it can do is to teach about the house of God, which was not that temple where Jesus went into, right, in Matthew 21, where we read today, and he was dealing with the money changers and people that sold those. All together. Yeah? So go back to Malachi 3. So God had promised to build a temple, right, to David, to Solomon, from the beginning. And that temple really is going to be the new creation. So the new creation is God's workmanship. So what will Malachi's my house be? So Malachi's my house will refer to two kinds of people. First of all, it will refer to the widows, the orphans, the fatherless, and it will refer to the spiritual widows, spiritual orphans, spiritual fatherless. Did you get that? Right? So it will be a pointer to teach what God really wants to do with the fatherless, that is, supply his meat. So Malachi is my house will deal with those without an inheritance, right? That will now partake of the inheritance. Yeah? So now, that there may be meat in my house. Now, so Malachi first admits that the priest had failed to see to it that there was meat in the house. So the priest had failed to see to it. Don't forget Malachi 2. This, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. Yeah? So look at verse 10 again. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. Who is to see that the tithe is brought into the storehouse? The priest. So that what will happen? There may be meat in my house. Go back to verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. What would the curse be? The curse really is simple. It's going to be the absence of meat in the house. Altogether. So, lack of supply of tithe to be eaten. Lack of supply of offering to be eaten. Why? Because they robbed God. Altogether. Yeah? So, Malachi, as a prophet of the Lord, will have Moses as a background, and he will speak about that which the Lord will do. He will not say, bring you all the tithe to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord. So this is called utterance. If I will not open you, listen to what he says. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing. So his prophecy is that God himself will pour out a blessing. What is God will pour out a blessing? It means God will give a direct action to supply meat in the house, which is going to be by the messenger of the covenant. Verse 1. Are you following? So that there will be, so look at next slide. I will pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What happened to the people without inheritance when they ate the tithe? Bible says they were filled, they were satisfied. When God pours out this blessing, what is the, so the blessing there, don't get yourself confused. The blessing in Malachi 10 is not when you give the tithe, God will give you another blessing. No, the blessing there is the tithe. You see that? So the true blessing that comes out from the window of heaven is the true bread. Right? And that true bread really is the meat in the house, which is a blessing that shall not be room, that there shall not be room enough to receive it altogether. So that there will not be room enough will just really mean God is pouring out his goodness and his mercy, lavishing it on mankind, that man's heart is satisfied until the people are overwhelmed, until you are overwhelmed with his unfailing and steadfast love. Yeah, that's what you call the fear of the Lord, in reference to the fear of the Lord. So that's why you see that song, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That's it now. He brings the tithes And that bringing of the tithe is the blessing that quenches, such that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That means, is look at it, there shall not be room enough to receive it in the figure of speech. It means it is overwhelming. Yeah, let me close it. So it means the new priest or the priest, yeah, so there will be the priest that will see to the fact that tithes are brought into the storehouse, right? And there will be the new or the true priest who really will bring the true tithe. What is the true tithe? The blessing. Where is it going to bring the blessing to? The blessing is to be brought into the storehouse, not a place, a people. Yeah, for now, Bible will tell you, 2 Corinthians, that we are now the temple of the Lord. So man will live in the fulfillment of God's love, which Moses was using the eating of the tithe to teach. So Moses will say, eat the tithe. What Moses is teaching is that Jesus will supply himself as the tithe, and him being the tithe will be the blessing that when man eats, or when he supplies it to man, it is so overwhelming that there is room not that there's no room enough to receive it. Altogether. So the ordinance of the tithe could only be fulfilled by who? So look at it. There will be the ordinance of the tithe that was a practice, and there will be the true ordinance of the tithe that only one person could fulfill. Who is the person that will fulfill it? The person that will fulfill it is the one that will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. That is God himself. Altogether. So God himself will be the one to bring out the blessing. Let me try close here, right? Go to Romans 10, verse 16. No. Let me not get troublesome. Go to Hebrews 10, verse 5. Let me wrap this. So I'm going to wrap up this tithing series for this year with this teaching. That's why I spoke the way I did, right? A lot said today. Take back your teachings or go back to the teachings of last week. Revisit what we taught last week. A lot said last week as well. But I've tried to explain Malachi in a very fundamental way for you. Yeah, so go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year, continually make the commands thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. Look at verse 4. He says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Hallelujah. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, who is the he that cometh into the world? Our high priest. How altogether? He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Isaiah 1. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books, as it is written of me, to do the will. So the fulfillment of God's action will be seen as Christ Jesus the priest, who ensures that tithe is brought into the storehouse. So we are now that temple, that storehouse, in which God has supplied the tithe into. Our hunger is quenched. So now don't forget, the ordinances that was used to teach as a practice is something that has continued all through. However, Paul, Peter, Jesus, none of them gave instructions on giving tithe. None. Last week, we looked at the two times or three times that Jesus used the word tithe in his entire ministry. And look at the other author that used the word tithe between Matthew to Revelation, the author of Hebrews. And we'll try to explain what that really means. And actually, what was being spoken about. We should look at that from Hebrews 7. So God is the one that fulfills the blessing or fulfills that open. So the action of opening the window and pouring out a blessing is that God will give the tithe as his gift to us. And in believing that the prophet will, in believing that we receive, or in eating of the tithe, how do we eat? We eat the tithe by eating the bread. Yeah, so because the bread really is the tithe, and the tithe is the blessing, which is the spirit that God supplies to the man who believes in the message of the gospel. Right? And what does that really mean? It means God has given us the tithe, and we are forever filled to satisfaction. Feed to satisfaction. Anything I don't say in today's teaching, we'll keep it till next year. Let's close to Malachi 3. Yeah? Malachi 3. Yeah? Anything I don't say from now on tight, yeah, we'll keep it till next year. But I hope this has been able to help you. And I would admonish you, really. A lot I've said. You won't listen to it again. So, who will bring all the tithe into the storehouse? God himself will bring. Why? Because Jesus will say, I come in the fulfillment in the volume of the books. Right? Yeah? That there may be meat in my house. So, let me ask a question. Who ensures that there is meat in God's house? And God himself ensures there is meat in his house. So if we are now the house of God, the temple of the Lord, and there is now meat in the house, that's why Paul now tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, he says, he who ministers seed to the sower and bread for food is the same one that gives meat in the house. Because the seed sown is the bread for food and the meat in the house. Hallelujah. So have you eaten the meat of God? Yes. So So have you eaten so the tithe was used to teach the meat of God, right? Have you eaten the tithe? Yes. How did you eat the tithe? You ate the tithe by eating the meat. How do you eat the meat? You ate the meat by eating the bread. How do you eat the bread? You ate the bread by eating his flesh. How did you eat his flesh? He ate his flesh by drinking his blood. How do you drink his blood? You drank his blood by receiving the indwelling of the Spirit forever. He said, glory, full of his grace, full of his power. Now you've received of the blessing that God pours out from the window of heaven. Now look at verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and it shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and ye shall be the delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. I'm not going to explain because of time, right? But you should be able to see how this now links in, right? You should be able to see how does this link in. Your words have been stored against me, says the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. Our prophet is it that we kept his ordinances, right? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that walk wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him, right? For them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. That's going to be his work. I'm not going to do that today. Yeah, for time will come. Look at chapter 4. For behold, I said I'm not going to touch it. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.